Yeah, it's come. Yeah, Father, we thank you for the abundance of rain that's coming our way. Father, we know the monsoon season is fast approaching upon us. And Father, we thank you for your blessing. You said you'd open up the windows of heaven and pour out your good treasure, the heavens, pour out on our land in due season. And we know that it's coming upon us. Father, we thank you for this blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Is Trevor okay? Oh, okay. I didn't see him. You wasn't smoking in the boys' room, were you? Okay. Well, Jesus taught us a lot of lessons. And one of the things that he taught us about was a communion. And he told us to take this as often as you will. I want you to catch this. In John chapter 15, he talks about abiding in him. Also, in John chapter 6, when he's talking about the communion, he said, when you take this, you're abiding in me. And I'm abiding in you. He gave us this for our healing and our well-being. And he wanted us to know that this is his body. The word for eat, and in particular verses, is not, he does not want you to think this is just a spiritual thing. That word eat in that particular verse means to crunch. We're literally partaking of his body and his blood. When we discern this bread, we look at it, we notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded. And we were beaten and bruised. He was beaten and bruised for us. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. His pierced body shed blood for us, for our transgressions. While his broken body was on that cross, God laid the full wrath of his fiery judgment on Jesus. The judgment that was meant for us was laid on Jesus. God literally treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So we're taking of this, your body, for our healing. The shed blood of Jesus completely washes away your sins. When you got born again, it completely washed away your sins. The Bible tells us that we were made new creatures in Christ Jesus at that very minute. Also, because of the blood of Jesus, we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are now literally in right standing with God. Everything that was wrong between us and God before we got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. Now, because of the blood of Jesus, we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We plead the blood of Jesus over our lives, over our livestock, over our jobs, over everything for protection. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that's ever been released on this earth. We worship that blood and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. All right. I didn't say go. Okay, you can go. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 and go to verse 7. And we're going to be talking about faith today, but also I want you to know we're going to be talking about the Father's heart for His children. See, we didn't come up with the idea of Father's Day. God came up with that idea. When He created Adam, He wanted a son. He had a heart that He wanted to share with His children. So He started with Adam and Eve. And He made everything right in that garden. Did you know that before Adam sinned, there was nothing wrong? There was no curse. There was no sickness. There was nothing. Everything was just perfect. That was our Father's heart for us. And it still is. Matthew chapter 7, we're just going to read it and then we're going to go on to something else. But we're going to read it just to get this for our base. Verse 7 says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets." So now Jesus was talking about the law. He's talking to the Pharisees about the law, but he's also showing them his heart. He wanted people to know that he wants good things for his children. In dealing with people, I've found that a lot of times people have an obscure vision of who God is when they start talking about Father. They automatically are drawn to the way their father treated them. Now, some people have a better grasp on it than some. Some people had really, really fantastic fathers. So it's a little easier for them to see how good Father God is because they had a really good father. Sometimes people don't have a good father and they have a hard time grasping the reality that we really do have a loving Heavenly Father. But that can be fixed through the truth and the Word of God. Jesus said you would know the truth and that the truth would make you free. See, it's not enough just to have a Bible. See, the Bible is filled with truth. And there's a lot of people that have Bibles sitting in their house and they're no freer than a jailbird. Why? Because they don't know the truth. They have the truth, they don't know the truth. So they don't know they've been set free from a lot of things. Now here's a very important thing. This might be one of the most important things you'll ever hear. When you're reading the Bible, believe what you read. Don't read what you believe. Now, you're going to have to take your doctrines and lay them on the table. You're going to have to take what mama told you and lay it on the table. You're going to have to take what your teachers told you and lay it on the table. You're going to have to take everything that you believe and put it on that table. Lay it bare. Match it up to the Word of God. If it doesn't match up with what the Word tells you, then you got to get rid of it. You know, I don't know if you've ever figured this out, but we have to unlearn a lot of things that we've been taught in life. You know, we get taught a lot of things. People will bombard us with facts. You know, they may be natural facts, but that doesn't mean it's the truth. You have to realize that a lot of our institutions are led by people that only deal with their five natural senses. That means they don't have the Spirit of God, because they don't have the witness of the Holy Spirit in them, because they haven't been born again. Not all of them, but a lot of them. So they teach people things as being facts, and people equate that as being the truth. And it's just not. How many of you believe that you started off as a ball of slime, turned into a frog, climbed a tree, your tail fell off, you jumped down, said, I'm a man? Is there anybody in here believes that? No? But they teach that as being a fact in some schools. But it's not the truth. See, that's why we have to watch. Why do we believe what we believe? Put it on the table. Does it match up with what the Bible says? If it doesn't, get rid of it. There are too many people that will only believe what they will only read what they believe. See, there's certain chapters in the Bible some people won't look at. There are certain verses in the Bible some people won't look at because it doesn't go along with the doctrine that they've been taught. That's a dangerous place to be put in. That's why it's so important to take that Bible and read it for yourself. Just read it like a novel at least once, the New Testament. And then go back and start reading the things that catch your eye. And then go back and read the things that really caught your interest. And study those things. See, the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. Once you get born again, you become the just. Because you've been justified by His grace freely. Now the Bible tells us that you need to live by faith. And the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if we're going to live by faith, we're going to have to hear the word of faith being preached. That's the only way it comes. Here's a heavy revy for some. You're not going to believe anything that you haven't heard. Some people sit in church and they get in a wreck and they need help and they need answers. And then they wonder why they struggle. They need a miracle. Maybe they need healing. And then they don't get it. And then they wonder why. If you're not being taught the word of faith, you're not going to operate in the word of faith. If you're not being taught that healing is for you today, it's not going to happen. If you're not being taught that miracles are for you today, it's not going to happen. Because you're not going to believe what you haven't heard. See, it doesn't happen any other way. And God told us to meditate on the Word of God. He said, meditate on my word day and night. He told that to Joshua very specifically. That's the same for us. The only way we're going to get a revelation of his word and get that truth in us so that the truth can make us free is to find what his word says, meditate on it, and look at it, and read it, and study it, and meditate on it some more, and then it becomes us. It actually becomes a part of us. Then we get a revelation of His Word. Don't get frustrated if you don't understand something right away. Just look at it and meditate on it. And don't get mad because you don't understand it all of a sudden. Because you'll, at some point, this literally happened to me. I had studied on a verse and studied it and looked at it and turned it inside. I did everything I could do to get this thing figured out. And it just wasn't coming to me. Then one day, I was eating a plate of Mexican food, talking to somebody, and all of a sudden I had a complete understanding of it over a plate of Mexican food. I got my But it wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have studied it and looked at it and kept meditating on it and kept pondering it. Now this get into the heart of God and start understanding who He is to us as a Father. I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 23. This is a very famous psalm. This psalm gets preached all over the place, in context, out of context, in place, out of place. I mean, and it just seems like this seems to be the funeral scripture. It's not a funeral scripture. The scripture is for us right here, right now. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know why this psalm is for the here and now? Because it says that He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Did you know there's no enemies in heaven? All the enemies you have are right here. So this psalm is for us. The first thing we need to get through our head is that the Lord is our shepherd. I shall not lack. He is a good shepherd. If you know anything about shepherds, they really look over their flocks. They make sure that their flocks are well fed, taken care of, well watered, and protected. No good sheep herder would ever hurt one of his sheep to teach it a lesson. They have a staff and a rod. The staff is a great big long cane. It's a long cane. I don't know if you've ever seen one other than on nativity scenes or anything, but I grew up in sheep country and they still had some of those. And what happens is sheep tend to run out in the mud. They get stuck. How many of us have ran out into the mud and got stuck? Well, the shepherd will go out there and put that staff around his neck and pull him back to safety. How many of you ever heard the definition for insanity? That means doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Well, the thing about a sheep, when you pull him out of a bog like that, if you just turn him loose, he's going to run a full circle and run right back into the same spot that he was in before. People seem to do the same thing over and over and over again. But a shepherd knows this. And what he will do is he'll pull that sheep out of the bog and then he'll do whatever he has to do to break that sheep's track. And once you break his track, then he's good. He'll wander off and go back where he's supposed to be with the rest of the sheep. Our good shepherd will do everything he can do to get our attention on him and get us out of that bog and keep us out of that bog. And he has a rod. The rod is never for abusing sheep. The rod is always to fight off the predators. We need to be confident in the loving heart of our Father, who wants only good things for us. He wants to take care of us. And even when we get in trouble, He's not mad at us. He wants to pull us out and make sure that we don't do the same thing again. So in dealing with faith, we need to know with whom it is we are dealing with. It is not enough to just know about Jesus. We must know Him. A lot of people know about Jesus. I ran into theologians that have spent years and years and years in Bible schools, whatever you call them. They call them seminaries. I call them cemeteries because it's a place for faith to die. I actually ran into one that spent 15 years in a seminary and ended up being a Muslim. He knew about Jesus. He just didn't seem to know Jesus. He knew about God. Even the devils know about God. Demons know about God. They know about Jesus, but they don't know Him. That's the difference. When you get the Spirit of God inside of you, when you get born again, He moves in there. And then you get to know Him through a personal fellowship with Him. And we know Him through His Word. We don't know Him through our experiences. You got to drop your experiences. Sometimes people have bad experiences in life, and they blame God for those bad experiences. They don't really know who He is. They know about Him. They just don't know Him. It's important for us to develop our own personal fellowship with Him. You got a relationship. When you got born again, you got a relationship with Him. But it's the fellowship that builds faith in your heart. That's the abiding in Him. Basically, Psalms 23 is the John 10:10 of the Old Testament. We must realize it is God's will and desire for us to live the abundant life. John 10:10 tells us that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's the heart of God, for us to live an abundant life, a healthy life, a whole life, a life of liberty. Not just freedom, but a life of liberty. You know there is a law of liberty in the Bible? Basically, there's three laws in the New Testament that we're supposed to follow. We're supposed to follow the law of love, the law of faith, and the law of liberty. Make sure that you don't let yourself become bound to the law or bound to works, because you lose your liberty that way. You've been made free. Now He wants you to live in liberty. That's even more fantastic than freedom. He wants you to live a whole life. He wants you to have the Zoe kind of life. That's His heart for you. I remember verse 2. He says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. When Connie and I first moved back up to Wyoming, we had to move into a little bunkhouse for a little while till this other house got ready. And I was just glad to have a place to live and a job. So I'm in this bunkhouse one day, And Psalms 23 is one of those psalms that come out of my mouth a lot. And I heard something outside, so I walked out there, and there's a great big tree. There was a creek that come right by the house. And the grass right there between the creek and the house was just poison green. And I sat there and I thought, man, he leads me beside the still waters and he makes me to lie down in green pastures. I thought that was so cool. It came true. What we meditate on is what's going to happen. Verse 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. This is one of his titles, one of the Jehovah titles. It means Jehovah Roah. I shall not want. The doctrine of no want, the doctrine of supplying lawful wants as well as needs, is taught in both Testaments. God not only wants to supply your needs, but he wants to supply your wants too. You know, there's things that people want that they don't need. And it's okay. You know what you really need? One time this lady, I was really having a hard time getting my act together. I wasn't sober very long and I was crazier than a pet coon. And this lady told me, she handed me a piece of paper. And she said, write all your needs on this piece of paper. And then she took that piece of paper back and ripped it in half. And then she ripped it in half again. And then she ripped, and then pretty soon she just had this little tiny piece of paper. Said, write all your needs on that little piece of paper. She said, here, I'll do it for you. And she wrote it down, handed it to me. Said, food, clothing, and shelter. That's what you need. Now, do you suppose that God wants us to have more than food, clothing, and shelter? Of course he does. Of course he wants us to have more than food, clothing, and shelter. He wants us to have an abundant life. He wants us to have the desires of our heart. He wants us to check in and ask us what he made us to be. Too many times people end up in the wrong position in life because they didn't check in with God and ask him what he wants them to be. You know, they just said, well, my dad was a doctor, my grandpa was a doctor, my great-grandpa was a doctor, so I'm going to be a doctor. So they become a doctor, and they're absolutely miserable. They're bald-headed. By the time they're 40, if they have any hair, it's gray. Their families are miserable. But they became a success because they got to be a doctor and they got a house and three cars and got a load of money. Their kids are miserable. And they can't wait to escape. How many times have you seen that? A lot. You ask a lot of professional people, said, did you really want to be this when you were a kid? No. I wanted to be this. But I thought I better do this so I could have a house and car and kids. One of the most profound things I learned from a hard-drinking man. He used to call himself a terrible alcoholic. He was a good friend of mine. And he said, you just do what you love. You do what you love to do, the money will be there. God will put a love in your heart to do something. I promise you, the finances, the security, and everything else will be there. You just have to have enough guts to do it. Then you might have to do something that you weren't taught to do. You might have to do something that everybody else says it's impossible for you to do. But you have a loving Father who will never leave you nor forsake you. He will cause whatever you put your hands to succeed. It would be wise for you to check in with him and say, hey, what should we do? And then watch him show up and show off. Look at Psalms chapter 34, verse 9. Well, here's a good start at verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them. That's good news. We have angels that protect us, guide us. It says the angel of the Lord actually encamps around us, protects us. How about that? You know how you make that a reality in your life? Meditate on it and say it out of your mouth. The angel of the Lord. Encampeth round about them. That fear him and deliver them. Verse 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Now here's the key. Are you going to trust in God? Or are you going to trust in your experience? Are you going to trust in God or trust in what you've been told? Are you going to trust in God or trust in what somebody else said? One time I had this poison got poured down my back. And this stuff was made to eat iron out of pipe. It went down the back of my head and down my back. And it caused blisters. I lost my equilibrium. My bowel movement stopped. And this went on for several days. And I literally fell out of my truck. And I knew what had attacked me. I knew the stuff that was on me. There's nothing any doctor could do. So I had to set my sight on Jesus. I had to set my sight on him. And believe on him. Put my trust in him. And I actually had a word of faith preacher tell me, that's foolishness. You go to the doctor. Well, going to the doctor would have been foolishness. The most sensible thing I could do is throw myself on the mercy of Jesus. What are you going to believe? The report of the world or the report of the Lord? I am absolutely convinced if I would have went running to the doctor, I would have been toast. But after 4 days, it was all cleared up. No side effects. Praise God. Believe in the Lord. Run to him. He loves you. He'll take care of it. Verse 10. Well, I want you to notice in that verse 9 says, there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That pretty much covered not only our needs, but our desires too. Now look, they need to be godly, healthy, sane wants. There's a lot of people that have went off into nutso land thinking that they could believe for somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband or, you know, just nonsense stuff. He'll supply you with a wife. Your missing rib is running around out there somewhere. Ask him for your wife and believe that he has one for you. You really can't believe God for pretty much the moon. You can receive anything that you need and want from him as long as it's something that's right. The question is not so much as what God can do or will do, but the real true question is how much he can do through you believing him. Our job is to receive from him. You know, you're not going to earn anything from God. You're not going to earn any brownie points. You're not going to earn any little gold star on the chart. As far as he's concerned, he's already freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. Our job is to receive from him. Too many people begging God for things that he's already given him when we're supposed to just say, hey, this is what your word says. I thank you for this. I receive it in the name of Jesus. This is mine. That's what word ask truly means, is you're actually making a demand on this covenant. You're not demanding God, but you're actually putting a demand on that covenant for something that is your blood-bought heritage. You know, some of the stuff you're going to have to fight for in the spirit. But you got to know how to fight. You know, you don't want to just go out there shadow boxing. You want to get the Word of God in you and know what's yours and know that it's yours so that you can receive it. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that you have freely given us. Father, we thank you for taking care of us and loving us so much. Even in spite of ourselves, you take care of us. You protect us, you feed us, you clothe us, you shelter us, you bless us with blessings that we didn't even know were coming our way. You guide us, and Holy Spirit teaches us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. And our loving Lord Jesus, our high priest, is always at the right hand making intercession for us. That means he's praying for us so that we can be at the right place at the right time, so that we can have right happenings happen to us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.